Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us on this Friday on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Happy Brewers Outlet Day. Happy November. Great to have you with us on the show. And today's show is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. So we're heading into the weekend. We need to be fully stocked up. And you can't do that unless you make a trip to Brewers Outlet. Imports, domestics, microbrews, it's the best selection of beer you're going to find anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. I know, Buhner likes garlic. But the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. All together now. Yes, you over there in Mifflinburg. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. By the way, we're now in November, which means we are hitting the accelerator toward the holidays. Now would be a great time to think about a Brewers Outlet gift card for somebody special. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, the best in the business. The Warriors have already lost Kevin Durant. Klay Thompson is out for the year with that knee injury suffered in the final. And then they lost Steph Curry with a broken left hand. Our play-by-play call of the day.
Charlotte and Portland before the homestand's over.
See, I love what Pascal did then. He closed out on a shooting hand stop. Oh.
Steph Curry with a lot of contact.
Uh-oh.
He's holding that left wrist. We already saw Steph tweak his ankle. He is not moving that left wrist right now.
That is the absolute last thing in the world. I think he went out. He's up.
We got to look at this ankle.
The left one?
Yeah, see him?
There it is.
Yeah,
oh,
just kind
boy.
Of tweak that, roll That's... it over. I mean, this is what just happened. He's in there, Baines tries to split the defenders and just
well, he landed
almost head first.
He landed on his arm and wrist. This it's not the collision, it's the landing, and then on top of it, what?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Baines fell on his hand.
He is so fortunate that he didn't break.
Well, he did break it. He broke his left hand on that play. And so the Warriors, who have been the gold standard for years, now are in really deep trouble in this particular season. All right. So that's our play-by-play call of the day. All right, let's get a read now from our good friends at Pro Football Focus. Cam Miller's writing an article this week. So Josh Lefkowitz is going to join us, who's one of the Pro Football Focus college football analyst. Josh, welcome. It's great to have you with us on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right. I know I was looking at the Big Ten grades from last week, and several Penn State players did show up in those grades, including C.J. Thorpe and the offensive line showed up in the grades. When you look at some of those grades, what really stuck out to you?
I think just in general, they're working well as a cohesive unit. I mean, they're pretty solid in pass protection, not seeing a lot of sacks being given up. Honestly, probably one of the bigger offenses by our grading in terms of giving up sacks has been the quarterback himself. So obviously you want him to be a little bit better in terms of scrambling into pressure or holding onto the ball too long and causing pressure on himself.
All right, so let's have some fun with quarterbacks, because there was a long article that was done about quarterbacks on Pro Football Focus, and I found it to be fascinating. You mentioned Sean Clifford in your answer there, and you've got him. 24, and you say currently seventh in the country with 10.6 yards per attempt through the opening 6 weeks of the season. What do you like about what Sean Clifford's done to this point?
I think he's just been consistent on the easy stuff, on the short and intermediate. I think working deep, he needs to be a little bit better, but he's not making a ton of critical mistakes. As we've seen, certainly in the bigger games, he's been solid in that aspect. And for being a guy that's a first-year starter, coming off a player that was, you know, one of the better Penn State quarterbacks we've seen in recent years, I think you got to be pretty happy with Clifford's all-around game so far.
All right, Justin Herbert was a big name a year ago, and some people wondered if he would come out. He decided not to come out. He decided to come back. All right, but something that he never really has had in his career is he's never really had that quote signature win. Washington, sort of. What keeps him, in your opinion, from winning some of the, quote, bigger games on the schedule?
Well,
that says it all. I may just play that back over and over again.
well, I'll start here. What are their biggest games? I mean, obviously, they just barely lost to Auburn, and that was a little bit of bad luck at the end there, really. I wouldn't obviously pin that on him. That was really lucky reception by the wide receiver on a last second play that the Oregon defensive back didn't make a play on. But I don't know. I'm a little hesitant on Herbert. I don't think his accuracy is consistent to all parts of the field. I don't think he has any absolute wow next level traits. It's not like he's throwing the ball through a building like Pat Mahomes or anything like that. I'm a little more reserved on him, and while he's certainly up there in our grades, I don't think he's like over the top where we're willing to completely sell out on him like we were, maybe the Oklahoma guys the last couple of years.
Okay, now let's go to the other part. It can be argued he might not be the best starting quarterback in the state. Oregon State has a quarterback, Jake Luton, and in some ways, he does grade out better than Herbert does, doesn't he?
Not looking directly at his grades, I could certainly see why that would be the case. I will argue that his skill positions are significantly better. They have a couple legit wide receivers. That running back core is awesome. All three of those guys, when they're healthy and going, big fans of all of them. So, well, Oregon State certainly has holes all over the place,
right.
especially on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
Skill players, they are loaded, and I think that helps him quite a bit, much more so than Oregon is right now.
All right, you look at this, and you see a couple guys along the way that you look at, and you do all this analyst work that are overrated and a couple guys that might be underrated. So, in your opinion, let's go to the underrated part. Who might be underrated that maybe don't get enough publicity nationally, in your opinion?
You're going to make me think on that one a little bit.
Tough. Well, that's what the good questions do, I think.
I'm going to go with a guy close to you that's been a really solid starter for a long time for you guys that I think people need to start paying a little more attention to. And that's Steven Gonzalez.
Yeah.
I think he's been an excellent, steady player. He's graded very well three straight years for us now. Hasn't given up a sack this year, just one hit, four hurries against, only two sacks each the prior 2 years as a full-time starter. I think he's a really solid guard. I'm not saying he should be, like, in the top 10. He's not going to, change the position. Certainly it's not a high-value position at the next level. But that's a guy that I'm pretty intrigued with in terms of his ability to play at the next level. I think he can be a long-term starter.
In fact, he's a guy that on this level you can win with. I think that's safe to say.
Absolutely.
Right. Among quarterbacks, who would be underrated nationally, in your opinion?
Underrated nationally quarterbacks? I think the kid over in Stanford is intriguing. I like his skill set in terms of he's got and his I'm completely blanking on his name. I just remembered Stanford off the top of my head. In terms of his skill set, he has the arm, so he can make all throws on the field. So you're not limited as far as that goes. I like that Stanford kind of teaches NFL type schemes, not because that's entirely necessary, as we've seen especially in recent years, but it just makes the transition for him easier to the NFL game. And I think he can make throws at all parts of the field. Accuracy, consistency, we want to see better. But I think as far as quarterback play goes, he, when healthy, is an intriguing one to add to the mix.
And that would be KJ Costello you're talking
KJ
about.
KJ Costello. Thank you very much, yes.
No problem. All right, Penn State will get ready next, and they've already started to get ready for Minnesota. They'll see Tanner Morgan. Tanner Morgan, when the season began, they didn't think he'd be the starting quarterback. And then he ascended to the top spot. What do you think of his game?
He's been really solid so far. Again, it helps when you have those kind of weapons.
Yeah, he's got
receivers. Both those receivers have been awesome. But Johnson is, by our standard, he's definitely a first-round pick in an absolutely loaded wide receiver class. So we think very, very highly of him. We think he's one of the top two or three in the country. But I definitely like what we've seen from him so far. Again, his ability to hit all three levels. He's not just a conservative guy that's dinking and dunking underneath, and they really work well off play action. And that intermediate level, he can really, really hurt teams up over those linebackers in those seams.
You mentioned Johnson being a first-round pick. Obviously, another draftable guy would be Bateman as well. What do you like about him, the opposite of Johnson on the other side?
I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't had enough time to really take a look at him yet, so I don't feel comfortable about giving a full opinion on him.
Oh, fair enough. That's absolutely fair enough. No question about that. Okay, Baylor is going to be playing. They're undefeated, and also playing undefeated SMU. So I want to get to SMU for a moment because they're going to take on Memphis. Should be a pretty good game between the two. Memphis has only lost the one game. That's the Temple along the way. Shane Buechele is the guy that transferred from Texas to SMU. What has he meant to the success of SMU?
I think he's, well, first off, yes, they have playmakers, but they've done a really good job of running the ball, especially in recent weeks. That's what got them back in the game against Tulsa, that absolute wild game, which I'll get to in a minute, and it helped them control against Temple and Houston. But his downfield throwing ability, I think, is just a game changer for them. They love being able to hit Prochet downfield, who is an absolute stud. I personally graded the Tulsa-SMU game a couple weeks ago that went to overtime when SMU had the just massive comeback, and Prochet is just an unbelievable wide receiver in terms of speed, athleticism, catch ability, body control. He showed all of it in that game, and what may be the two single best catches of the year so far in that game, one of them to win in overtime. So they've got some real playmakers. That's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, it will be a fun one, no question. Have you had a chance to look at Colorado at all?
Yeah, I have. I have looked at them a bit.
Okay, you talked about great receivers. What do you think of Chenault?
I love Chenault when he's healthy. He's been one of my favorite guys since the very beginning of last year. Our Jordan Plocker for PFF, he's our Pac-12 specialist. His big thing is he loves watching spring games.
Okay.
So after Colorado's spring game last year, he said, dude, you got to watch the Chenault guy. He's about to go off completely. And to me, I mean, I don't know how you want to comp him when he's healthy, which has been an issue. But, I mean, he's so physical and aggressive after the catch, plus he's got that speed. He's kind of a faster Anquan Boldin, I guess you could say.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, health is the issue with him. I don't think Colorado does a great job of developing their receivers in terms of understanding a route tree and all that kind of stuff and route running. But if I'm comfortable with his health, he's definitely in the first-round mix for me. I just think he's an absolute superstar.
Now, they just played Friday night against USC.
Uh-huh.
And Michael Pittman played against Penn State as a freshman in the Rose Bowl. At the end of the 2016 season, I thought, boy, he looks like a great prospect. What has he become in your eyes as you've watched Pittman play for USC?
Honestly, that's another player I haven't had a chance to look at here.
Okay. All right. So now we'll move someplace else with this. Of the players that you've looked at, you just talked about Gonzalez. Of the players you've looked at, which ones have moved up your board as time has gone because their performance week in and week out, you're saying to yourself, looks better and better and better to me?
One guy I'll stay in Big Ten, and I'll stay at the same position, Michael Onwenu from Michigan. I mean, he's on our midseason All-American team, which I think is a surprise to many, including Michigan fans, but he's just been absolutely steady, and he's the kind of guy that can absolutely blow up the line of scrimmage as well. So for him, it's been limiting the mental errors, which he had really all throughout last year especially, and a little bit in the beginning of this year, but once he's kind of gotten in sync with the linemen around him, for once Michigan has some continuity, and that offensive line has really been lacking throughout Harbaugh's tenure there.
Yeah,
I think that's helped him quite a bit, and you just see his physical traits are off the chart.
It's interesting you mentioned that, Josh, because I think a lot of people going into the season felt that Bredesen was the guy.
Yeah.
And to see, you know, and I'm watching the tape like you getting ready for the game. Almanu looks really good to me. I mean, he moves well, uses his hands well. He's a good player. So when you've looked at Shea Patterson, what have you seen, plus and minus, since he's the guy in the vicinity of him when he takes snaps?
Sure. To me, he's been nothing short of a colossal disappointment for what the expectations were for him. I'll be quite frank. The accuracy, he's never figured that out intermediate downfield. He's due for a couple just complete head-scratcher decisions every single game, it seems. And he's been reluctant to run. And when you have the zone read, when you have the ability to run like he has, you have to take advantage of that. And with that scheme they've been running, I think he's done it a disservice by his unwillingness to run for the most part until the last couple of weeks because teams are just keying on the backs. They're not really worried about that forced defender having to hold out in the flat a little bit. He's just crashing down on the running back, and that's making it tough, especially when you have two freshman running backs like that. That makes it real tough on them.
You know, and that's interesting you bring that up because it's not just looking at a tape, just looking at the base stats. When I got the stat sheet on Michigan, because, I mean, I go week to week looking at these things, I was like, you mean he hasn't been running the ball? Because I thought that systematically this would fit him pretty well.
Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely thought that, yeah. I really do believe that Michigan probably would have been better off with McCaffrey or even the other kid playing. Just because schematically, for whatever reason, he's not willing to run. I don't know. Maybe it's Harbaugh doesn't want to fully commit to it. Who knows really what's going on there, if it's him or if it's Harbaugh or whatever it is. But, you look at his physical skill set, and that running is a big part of his ability. It's not his downfield accuracy, that's for sure. So, that needs to be part of this game going forward.
Josh, you did this on the spur of the moment. I really appreciate it very much that you gave us the time you did today and a lot of great information.
Oh, no problem. Anytime.
Ben Lesowicz joining us from Pro Football Focus. Cam Meller is going to rejoin us next Thursday on the show and get his analysis and read on Penn State and Minnesota heading into that showdown, which will be next Saturday, a week from tomorrow, in Minneapolis. And kickoff is set for noon Eastern time, and we're on beginning at 10:30. Looking forward to that. It's been a fun show so far. Thanks to Ben Lesowicz for joining us from Pro Football Focus. Also, great to hear from Kelly Mazzani. Great to hear from Nathan Davis. And great to hear from Neil Riddell. In the next half hour, we're going to hear from Dick Girardi. We're going to venture away from football. We're going to venture away from baseball. No basketball. Because believe it or not, the Breeders' Cup is coming up this weekend from Santa Anita, a track that's had a lot of trouble. But I'm going to talk with Dick about that and much more. And we'll do that in the next half hour with him. It's great to have you with us today. The show is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the Pickle Bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed, all together now, second to none. Yes, I heard you in Berlin. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Dick Girardi, next half hour, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Final half hour for the week, and great to have you with us. And as always on Friday, we're brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. You want to stock up for the weekend, but also since we've made the turn into November, maybe start thinking about gift cards. Gift cards make a fabulous, fabulous gift and let somebody know how much you care. So when you go in there, ask about a Brewers Outlet gift card. And get your shopping done as early as possible. Now, when it comes to either going over somebody else's place or having company yourself or just relaxing at home, you always want to make sure you're fully stocked. So, the best selection of beer anywhere. Imports, domestics, microbrews. A lot of people love wine coolers. Plenty of those. Soft drinks. Always have plenty of those. Water. Snacks, lots and lots of snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. All right, let's hear it all together there in Shamokin Dam. Indeed, second to none, even though Buhner likes garlic. It is Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. And, you know, we always want to deal with the best in the business. We've been so, so proud to be dealing with the best in the business in Sunbury Motors. Tom and his staff have been incredible over the years, and that sales staff is tremendous. They look at your needs. They look at your price range. They know they have the awesome product to sell, but they also want to make sure it fits you and fits your lifestyle. And you're taken care of through the lifetime because they have a service department that's tremendous. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Before we get to Dick Girardi and talk about the Breeders' Cup coming up this weekend from Santa Anita, let's get to the high school football board for tonight. And we're going to start in Class A this evening, or this weekend we'll start with Class A. These are two games in Class A tonight in District 4 in the semifinals. The number one seed is Canton. They're at home tonight. They'll take on South Williamsport, and that will be a 7 o'clock start. Muncie is the number three seed, and they play at Sayre, and that will also be a 7 o'clock start. And I believe that is the only matchup between two teams over 500 in this grouping. So that's Class A. So let's move on now to Class AA. In Class AA, coming up tonight, or excuse me, coming up Saturday at 7, so tomorrow night, Towanda, the number 8 seed, will play at the obvious number 1 seed, that's Southern Columbia. Then at 7 o'clock tomorrow night as well, North Penn Mansfield will take on Doug's team, Wellsboro, the number 4 seed, against tomorrow night at 7. Also tomorrow night at 7, Line Mountain, number 7 seed, will take on the number 2 seed, Troy. And the matchup between Bloomsburg and Mount Carmel is now settled. Bloomsburg decided to forfeit the game to Mount Carmel due to a lack of players, so Mount Carmel is automatically into the semifinals where they'll face the winner of Troy and Line Mountain. Let's get now to the games in AAA. And the one we'll be carrying on 100.9 The Valley tonight. Lewisburg, the number 5 seed, will be at Warrior Run, the number 4 seed. That will be on 100.9 The Valley. 7 o'clock will be the kickoff tonight. And again, 6:30 the airtime on 100.9 The Valley. Other games in Class AAA District 4 tonight include Shamokin, the number 8 seed, at number 1 seed, Montoursville. Mifflinburg, the number 7 seed, at Loyal Sock, the number 2 seed. And Danville, seeded 6th, will take on Central Columbia, the number 3 seed, and that will be at Central Columbia this evening. Class Quad A District 4 tonight. First of all, on Eagle 107, Midwest, in its second year of existence as a program, will take on the number 2 seed, Selins Grove, at Selins Grove tonight. That is on Eagle 107, 7 o'clock the kick and 6 o'clock the airtime. And right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, it'll be the number 4 seed Shikellamy, which has won 3 of its last 4, on the road at number 1 seed Jersey Shore. That'll be a 7 o'clock kick tonight. And the award-winning Kevin Herm, with his brilliant play-by-play, along with the chief Dave Ritchie, will have the call here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. 7 o'clock the kick and 6:30 will be the airtime. And for the first time in 6 years, Sean Carey, who's taking, he and Deb are taking their nephew down to Pittsburgh to go to the Steelers game this weekend. They're going to play the Colts on Sunday, which you can hear on 100.9 The Valley, by the way. But Sean, Deb, and their nephew will be there for the game on Sunday. So they're taking him down to Pittsburgh for a weekend trip. That's great. So Matt Cotrillo, who always does a great job, Matt always does a great job, will be filling in tonight on game night. And it is the area's best post-game show, and Matt will do a great job. And we want to thank Matt, by the way, a lot, because Matt was the one that got Nathan Davis, the Bucknell men's basketball coach, they open up on Tuesday, and Kelly Mazzani, who's now an assistant coach on the Bucknell women's staff, and I can't thank Matt enough for the great job he did in getting both of them. All right, so that's the high school football story on this Friday evening. But there's another major event happening this week, and it is the Breeders' Cup. And of course, we always have Dick Girardi on, my basketball partner. And this will be our 16th season together, starting on Tuesday when Penn State takes on Maryland Eastern Shore. But of course, he's also been, over the years, one of the signature writers in horse racing. And we've always had him on for the Kentucky Derby. We've had him on for the Preakness and the Belmont. And he's always given everybody the best perspective. Well, the Breeders' Cup takes place this weekend at what has been a troubled track, Santa Anita. And with that, we welcome in my basketball broadcast partner, Dick Girardi. DJ, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Thank you, Steve.
And, of course, all this is brought to you by our good friends at ExpressBet. And we know we have a limited window with you, but ExpressBet.
Yeah, we got You got some time here, buddy. You're all right. I'll tell you when your time's up.
Yeah, and you will in a lot of ways. Visit ExpressBet.com for a free Breeders' Cup guide and to wager on the races when you can't get to the track. All right, so what intrigues you about the Breeders' Cup as we get started here? What right away just jumps at you?
Probably the sprint race on Saturday. I think that's the best race of the weekend. That's race 8 on Saturday. They'll go about 5:36 Eastern time. It's just loaded with talent. Mattoli's only lost once all year. Chancelot got the fastest fire speed figure of 2019 so far. And Imperial Hint is a horse who's been knocking on this door of this race for the last 2 years, trying to break it down. It's just going to be, it's not going to take long because these horses are so fast. But that's probably, if you said, of the 14 Breeders' Cup races, that would be the one I'm most looking forward to.
Okay, so how do you want to look at that? What are some of the keys of that one right out of the gate?
Yeah, for me, I thought the post positions really were dramatic in here, and often they don't matter. I think in this race, they really do. Chancelot is the horse who's probably going to be in front. The fact that Mattoli drew inside of him and Imperial Hint drew outside absolutely favors Imperial Hint in my mind, because the last thing you want as a secondary speed horse is to be locked down inside of another one. You'd rather be outside. The analogy I always use, Steve, would you rather be driving on 322 near Mifflintown or right on the Schuylkill Expressway at 5 o'clock? And you're just going to be a lot more comfortable up on 322. So I think Imperial Hint's going to have the more comfortable situation. That's why I ended up picking them. But having said that, I mean, there's three horses that could win. I mentioned all three of them, but it's some horse race.
Right. You think any one of the three could win? Does that make it?
I do.
Does it make it easier when you want to go with how you want to bet it? Because you can put them in an order.
You can, but I don't think that's going to be where the value is. It depends on the circumstances as you get to that point.
Right.
I'm playing in this contest that I play in every year. I mean, I've talked to you about it in the past. And
yeah.
It may be a race I don't need to get involved in. But if I do, if it's a situation where I think I need to get involved, I'm going to probably just play Imperial Hint and hope I'm right about how the race is going to be run. And I also think this, if all the horses run their very best, I think Imperial Hint's best is better than the other two.
Does stamina mean something in this race? And if so, who has it?
Yeah, it's less of a factor in these shorter races.
Yeah.
This is the 6-furlong Breeders' Cup sprint is the equivalent of the Olympic 100-meter dash for horses.
Right.
It's just like you just go, and you go as fast as you can for as far as you can. Normally, it's decided well before the finish line. Like some horses just, they'll give way at some point. Some horse will open up and win by a bunch. But these are evenly matched enough that it's not out of the question. You can see a couple horses together coming down the stretch.
Yeah. Jockeys. Does a jockey make a difference in this?
They do, but, in this circumstance.
In a sprint, not so much, right?
Yeah, I would say you just got to get the horse out of the gate, give the horse an opportunity. You have terrific jockeys all the way through. Ricardo Santana's going to ride Mattoli. He rides a lot for Steve Asmussen, who's going to eventually be the all-time leading trainer in wins. He's not there yet, but he's going to get there in a couple of years.
Joel Rosario?
Say it again?
Joel Rosario?
Rosario's not riding one of my horses in this race.
Right. No, but he's riding in it, though.
No, he's good, and he's having a great year. He's on Catalina Cruiser, the one.
Yeah.
And he's actually on Baffert's horse for the first time in the Classic. He's riding McKenzie. Baffert was so unhappy he got beat last time that he fired Mike Smith. And all Mike Smith did for him last year was win the Triple Crown. So it's a tough game out here. There's too much money involved. People, they fire people over nothing or not very much at all.
All right, let's get to the Classic.
Yep.
What makes the Classic intriguing to you?
Yeah, it's one of the few years where there isn't like a standout,
right.
And it's not like there's like no Hall of Famers in here. When this race was last at Santa Anita, we had Arrogate and California Chrome, two horses that are both going to the Hall of Fame, battling it out. I mean, it was just awesome. We have a lot of really nice horses, but no like major stars. I thought at the beginning of the year, Steve, that McKenzie would win this race.
Yeah.
And he's been good all year, but he hasn't been quite as good as I thought. He's finished second in some races I thought he should have won, including the last one. So I have some doubts. Horse of the Year might be on the line here. Vino Rosso's the improving horse, and Code of Honor's been good all year. Probably one of those three will win. And if you're looking for a longer shot, the 5 Yoshida might have a chance. But, boy, McKenzie, I think, is the most likely winner, but he's by no way is he the only likely winner of this race.
A little bit further back in the odds is War of Will. What do you think of that horse?
Yeah, it's interesting. He's been wearing blinkers in all his workouts because he really hasn't done much of anything since the Preakness.
Yeah.
And he's looked better in those blinkers as if he's going to come with his very best race. Steve, I don't even think his best race is good enough. If he could run back to the Preakness, then I don't think he can beat these horses.
That says a lot. Why has McKenzie not maybe reached his potential?
Yeah, he's an unusual horse to ride. And it's possible he has reached his potential, and I think there's more there, and maybe there isn't.
Right.
But he's some of his really good races, including the Whitney at Saratoga and the Ali Sheba Derby weekend at Churchill Downs, those are killer races. I mean, they'll crush this field. But he just doesn't always do it. I know this for sure. Baffert was so unhappy he got beat last time by a 25-1 shot. I just told you he fired the jockey. And he's been working the horse like he works his really good horses when he's coming up to a big race, and they usually will fire off that series of workouts. So I would suspect that whatever the best McKenzie has to give, we're going to see it Saturday.
Right. Code of Honor. Code of Honor, I want to say is the 11 horse in this.
Yes, that's correct.
And Johnny V's aboard.
Yep.
What are the possibilities for Code of Honor?
Yeah, he can win. I mean, yeah, he's going to get not a great pace in front of him. He's like a mid-pack closer, but he won the Travers. He finished third in the Derby, got moved up to second on the DQ, and then he got DQ'd into the Jockey Club Gold Cup win when Vino Rosso finished first, and they ended up disqualifying him. It's been the year of the DQ.
Right.
Shugbegehi has won every big race in America with the exception of two. He has not won the Preakness, and he has not won the Classic.
Right.
He is on record at saying, I want to get one of them out of the way this weekend. And this is one of his best chances. He's had other good chances. He had Easy Goer in 89. He looked like he was going to win, but Sunday Silence was just a little better that day. He had Seeking the Gold, almost beat Ali Sheba back in, I think, 88 now. But he's never won it, and certainly Code of Honor gives him a realistic chance. And I think if either McKenzie or Code of Honor wins, they're probably going to be the horse of the year, even with some other unbeaten horses in different divisions. But typically a really good horse that wins the Classic is your horse of the year.
The Pletcher horse that you mentioned that got DQ'd was Vino Rosso.
Yeah.
But what makes Vino Rosso the kind of horse that obviously, even at a DQ, won the race?
Right. He finished first, and it was an interesting set of circumstances there. Johnny V had ridden this horse every race of his life, all 13. Well, he got off the ride Code of Honor. So Irad Ortiz rides Vino Rosso. He finishes first. Johnny V claims foul against his man, Todd Pletcher, the trainer of Vino Rosso. And I saw Todd yesterday. He's still not happy. He got disqualified. But this is a horse that was a decent three-year-old last year, but clearly has gotten better at four. And he actually came out here to Santa Anita in May and won a mile and a quarter race over this track, the Santa Anita Gold Cup. So, I talked to Todd yesterday morning. Somebody's asking him, what's your best chance this weekend? He's got a bunch of horses. He said Vino Rosso.
It's been a rough year for Santa Anita.
Oh, my Lord.
I mean, a rough year. In the people you've talked to, how have they reacted to it?
No, it's been hard, Steve. The game has been in the public eye for all the wrong reasons with all the horse injuries and, in some cases, deaths that happened at Santa Anita in the wintertime. And it's put the spotlight on a lot of racetracks around the country. I think they have done everything they possibly can to ensure this is going to be a safe weekend. And obviously everybody wants it to be safe. But they're just, you don't know for sure. They've slowed the racetrack down a little bit. They've done a lot of things to try to make this better. But we just don't know. And my man from Boston is calling me. So that
means if he's calling you, you are?
Gone.
Dick, we'll talk next week.
Same thing.
Dick Girardi. Off to Boston he goes. He has to take care of that one next, but as always, we're glad he could carve out about 10, 11 minutes with us today to talk about the Breeders' Cup. And it's been amazing, the story of Santa Anita and all the problems that they've had. It really is amazing how that's turned out over the, you know, it's in fact shocking, the number of horses that have died at that track. It's been literally amazing to see the tragedy there. And what's caused it? I have no idea, and I don't think anybody does. But the Breeders' Cup is this weekend. It is a celebration of horse racing without question. And a lot of people are very interested in it, and that's why we have DJ on every year to talk about it. There, you know, it's, I know there, if you're really into the sport, there's certain preliminary Derby races like the Florida Derby and the Wood and things like that leading up to the Kentucky Derby. But to most horse racing fans, it's the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, the Belmont, and yes, then the Breeders' Cup. And that's why we had Dick on this week to talk about that. Brought to you by our good friends at ExpressBet.com. All right. We've talked about the big weekend coming up. You got the SMU in Memphis. SMU 7-0. Memphis has lost only once, that game at Temple. You had Notre Dame, Virginia Tech. I think Oregon. Their matchup against USC is intriguing. So it's not as if college football doesn't have intriguing matchups, along with the cocktail party between Florida and Georgia at the Gator Bowl. So college football, even though many top teams like Penn State have the weekend off, not everybody does. So there are, and the Memphis SMU game is the primetime game tomorrow. Get to see Shane Buechele play again. All right, high school football tonight. Big games coming up on our air. Lewisburg is at Warrior Run in Class AAA District 4. That's on 100.9 The Valley at 7 o'clock tonight. And the airtime is set for 6:30 on 100.9 The Valley. On Eagle 107 tonight, Class Quad A District 4 semifinals. Selins Grove, the number 2 seed against the number 3 seed Midwest. 7 o'clock the kickoff, 6 o'clock the airtime. And here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, we're just 90 minutes away from the airtime of Shikellamy at Jersey Shore. 7 o'clock will be the kickoff, and again, 6:30, 90 minutes from now will be the airtime with the outstanding Kevin Hur and the Chief Dave Rich. Today's show has been brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day in the pickle bar. Left by the barrels and the dills, indeed, second to none. From the Sunbury Motors Studio, I'm Steve Jones. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great weekend, everyone.